Hoskins last week and this week, really in anticipation of Jay Hoskins being with us. We're in a series of last week and this week just called The Healer Still Heals. And the thing that I think that we need to realize constantly and continually is that if Jesus did what he said he was going to do in the Word of God, Jesus is going to do it for you. He didn't do something. We don't find that Jesus or that God was a God who was, but we find him as a God who is. And we looked at last week from the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ, it says in chapter 13 of Hebrews that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That our faith, our anticipation, the challenge we have is we think just because God did something there, that he won't do it here. If he did it there, it passed away for here. But we never find that in the Word of God. And so the lesson that we looked at last week, we looked at every healing scripture in the book of Matthew. We just took the Gospel of Matthew, and we looked at every incident where we find that Jesus did something for somebody in a physical condition. And we find out over and over and over that Jesus healed everybody who came to him. Now, whether your experience has been that or not, listen to me, can I just be real honest with you? And for me too, it's irrelevant. Whether I've walked in that or not, it does not invalidate the truth of the Word of God. So I have got, me personally, you personally, you've got to get to the point where you say, okay, maybe that's not been my experience, but now I've got to align my belief with the Word of God so my experience will line up with the Word of God. With the Word of God. God is a God who works not only to forgive sin, but God is a God who will heal bodies. He'll heal bodies. And He wants to heal your body. Regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what it looks like right now, we're going to look at a chapter eventually we'll get to this morning and spend the most of our time in Isaiah chapter 53. And we'll talk about what Isaiah the prophet saw and what he did. What he spoke forth about this one called the Messiah that was going to come to be the substitute of mankind, for our sin, but also for sickness and disease and for pain. And if Jesus was a substitute, if Jesus did something for us, I don't know about you, but I want him, I want to walk in the freedom of that. Just like we sang, right? Walk in the freedom of it. Not have to struggle with it. Not have to wonder if I can have it or not. Not have to somehow get to the place where I think that I've got to work for it. And we're going to find out today when Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. And it's finished for you. So I just want to encourage you today, whether you've heard a message along these lines or not, or maybe it's brand new to you, just hook up your faith, open up your heart, and when it says whatever it says, just let something in your heart say, I believe it. I receive that. I might not understand everything, but I just believe it. I receive it today. Luke chapter 4. We all right so far? Luke chapter 4. Let's look at what Jesus said. In chapter 4 of Luke, verse 18 and 19, Jesus is standing up and he's preaching his first sermon. He shows up at the temple and the attendant gives Jesus a book. And Jesus opens up to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and he starts reading. You can find this in the Old Testament book Isaiah, chapter 61. And he finds the place where he's supposed to read for the day, and it's speaking prophetically about him. God set the whole thing up. And notice what he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he, God, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What you'll find in this passage is that it says, really in summary, just a couple things. It says Jesus is going to proclaim liberty, and Jesus is going to set at liberty. He finds the place where it's written, and he says, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is come up on me. And he's come up on me for a reason. He has anointed me to do something for humanity that is hurting. Humanity that's away from God, He's saying, I am going to proclaim something, I'm going to preach something, but not just preaching, not just proclamation, I am going to demonstrate something, I am going to set them at liberty. I'm going to preach liberty, preach freedom, and I'm going to demonstrate that. I believe with all my heart that the earth is looking for a church, looking for a people that not only says something, but demonstrates something. And I believe it's you. I believe it's you. So you need to be constantly challenged in your faith to be bold in saying what the Word of God says, but to be bold in demonstrating what the Word of God says as well. Proclaim liberty and set at liberty. It's preaching, proclamation of the gospel, preaching, but then also a demonstration of that. That is why Jesus was anointed. He was anointed. Not only to heal the brokenhearted, those that are hurt on the inside, those that life has just broken them down, they're hopeless, they're destitute, they're away from God. It looks like darkness is surrounding people. It looks like fear's everywhere. It looks like negative situations face them every time they get up in the morning. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. They need to hear a message. They need liberty proclaimed to them. They need freedom, anticipation, and hope again in their hearts. But also a demonstration for those that are sick, those that are diseased, those that are broken, those that are facing maladies where there's incurable things or even chronic things. No matter where they came from, no matter how long they've had them, the same God who forgives sin is the same God who heals diseases. He's the same. Three times it talks about preaching though here, or proclamation is mentioned. And so three times, I think it's very important to us. So listen, don't shut your ears off from the proclamation or the preaching of the gospel. Open yourself up. Listen to it. Challenge yourself to find godly teachers that are teaching the Word of God. Listen to messages from the church online. Go to spectrum.org and listen to messages over and over and over. Fernando, who's not here this morning, but one of the guitar players, he said to me last week, he said, you preached a message, I don't know how long ago, but on Daniel or something. I've been listening to that message over and over and over. Why? Something's going on in him that God's trying to get him back to the Word, he's saying to, that the preaching of the gospel is changing something on the inside of him. So notice on the screen, though, that the preaching of the gospel is mentioned three times. So hearing the Word of God taught causes several things. Faith to come, faith to rise, faith to grow, and faith to receive. You must continually hear the Word of God. Do not shut your ears off from hearing the Word of God. Because, come on, we know faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Just as though the same thing. Fear comes from hearing. And hearing negative situations. Whatever you're hearing will breed more of what you're hearing. If you're hearing negative situations all the time, all you do is see negative situations in the world. If all you hear is about what the Supreme Court voted upon, ooh, and that's all I'm hearing, and all we think is the world ain't going nowhere. I can tell you what's going on. Jesus is going to come back for a glorious church. The Bible, Isaiah says, arise and shine, for your light's come. The glory of the Lord's risen on you. Then he says in verse 2 of chapter 60, behold, darkness will cover the earth and gross deep darkness of people. But the Lord arise on you. His glory will be seen on you. Come on, everybody. Who cares what's going on in the world? Preach, proclaim Jesus. And then set free those who want to get set free. And in the middle of it all, love everybody. Just love everybody. Just love everybody. Pretty easy. We can do it. Malachi chapter 2. Turn over there real quick. Come on, note takers, write it down. Prophet Malachi says this in verse 2. But to you who fear His name. Anybody in here fear the name of the Lord? The Son of Righteousness, notice that, the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings. That doesn't mean that God's got wings. Come on, everybody. God's not Batman. He ain't got a cape. But he says, you're going to go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Wow. To you who fear His name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. What's He going to arise with? Healing. Healing. The word healing there, notice on the screen, it means restoration of health. It means remedy. It means a cure. He's going to arise with medicine. He's going to arise with tranquility. He's going to arise with deliverance. He's going to arise with refreshing in His wings. In His one translation, the Berkeley translation says this, He's going to arise with healing in His beams. B-E-A-M-S. Beams. Beams. And the picture in the Hebrew is just as though you see the clouds that rise and the sun that shines through the clouds, and we see those beams of light that come through the beautiful white puffy clouds. He says every beam, the picture is when you see the beam of light coming through the cloud, that's the power, the healing power of God that will heal every sickness and every disease known to man. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His beams. And it says this is what will happen to you and I. It says that we will go out and we'll grow fat. We'll understand who we are and we'll be like a calf that jumps out of a stall. All of a sudden we were limited, we were bound, we were restricted. This healing, this situation in our life, or the sickness in our life and disease in our life caused us to be level, caused us to be down, caused us to be depressed, caused us to be under, caused us to be in a dark situation. We don't know how we're going to get out. We feel fearful. There's no hope. I'm negative. I'm critical. It's affecting me mentally. It's affecting my body. It's affecting my family. It's affecting my finances. Every situation in my life, it's brought me down. But God says, I'm going to come in your life and I'm going to raise you up. You're going to arise. Arise. Anytime Jesus came into someone's life, He always lifted them up. He always lifted them up. And so if you're fighting something in your body, I'm here to tell you, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, notice, lifted Him, raised Him from the dead, is the same power that will raise you from the dead in your physical body. And He says it will quicken, make alive, Romans 8:11, your mortal body. Twofold application. When we go to heaven, glory to God, we're all going to get a new body. Amen to that, huh? But before we go, guess what God wants? God wants you whole, whole, whole in your body so you can finish your race and finish the course that He has given for you to run. I'm glad for it. I've known about you, but I've never had a good sick day. I've never had a good sick day. You know, when you're a kid, you know, Mom, rub Vicks on me. Come on, y'all remember Vicks Vapor Rub? Y'all remember that? Come on, some of you older folks like me, remember Vicks Vapor Rub? Mama used to come in the house, I can't be, you know, and she unscrew that can and swab that Vicks Vapor Rub. Put it all over your nose at night, put it on your chest. Oh, dear Lord, come on, my days of Vicks Vapor Rub are over. Glory to God. Jesus. Come on, He wants to heal you. Come on, say amen to that. Amen. A scripture I go back to regularly, let me give you one of my favorites, that I go back to regularly whenever I'm facing something in my body. It's in the book of John, chapter 11. It's where Jesus has been called to go to Lazarus' house, where Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, say, Jesus, the friend that you love, he's sick. We come to find out the brother is going to die. And before Jesus gets there, he did die. And he's already in the grave. But Jesus knows what's going to happen. Jesus has a word of knowledge. He knows what's going to be happening in the future, or word of wisdom for the future. And he knows Lazarus is going to die because he tells his disciples that he's going to die. But notice what he says about the situation in John 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, He said this sickness, come on, read this out loud with me. Come on, 1, 2, 3, read. This sickness is not unto death. Come on, say that again. This sickness is not unto death. So stop right there. I want you, if you would please, to hook up your faith that no matter what you're facing, this sickness in my life is not the way it's always going to be. It's not going to put me in the grave early. It's not unto death. Notice what he goes on to say. But it is for the glory of God.
Now, listen. It's not for the glory of God, meaning God put it on me, then God's going to take it off me, because you can't find that in the Scripture. God doesn't give you sickness and then take something off you. He doesn't give it to you to begin with. He hasn't got it to give it. It's not in His portfolio. He's got healing to give to you whenever the enemy tried to put something on you. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. In other words, what the devil tried to do in jacking up and messing with our bodies, God's going to get glory out of it. It's going to be a testimony that this happened in my life. God didn't put it. Maybe I was damaged. Maybe I was in a car wreck. Maybe I was stupid. Maybe I was DUI. Maybe I did something myself. It doesn't make a difference. Maybe this is chronic. I look at it and grandpa, grandma, aunts, uncles, and it's kind of in our natural genes. But now I got some spiritual genes in me. I've been born again. I got a new daddy. I got a new nature on the inside of me. It's not unto death. I'm going to give God glory in the middle of it all. He's going to heal me. He's already healed me. I'm just trusting Him that I see it in my physical body. And in the middle of it all, I'm going to keep praising God. I'm going to keep rejoicing. I'm not going to say, God's good and God's bad, or why is this here? I'm not going to ask stuff that I don't know why. I'm just going to say, God, You're going to get glory out of this situation. It's not a death. Not going to put me out. I'm going to live and not die and declare, come on somebody, the works of the Lord. Psalm 30, verse 2. Write it down, then we'll get to some stuff. Oh Lord, I cried out to You, and what happened? You healed me. Oh Lord my God, I cried out to You, and You healed me. You restored my health. Like you, I read the Bible. That'd be a good place to say amen. Like you, I read the Bible. Come on, amen, amen. And so, like, this past week, I was just reading the Bible, and this portion of Scripture that I've read many, many times just came alive to me. So I really want to look at this and then share it with you, hopefully, to aid you concerning sickness or disease and or healing in your life with this passage. In Acts chapter 2, this is Peter standing up on this day of Pentecost. And Peter's just been filled with the Holy Spirit. The 120 people in the upper room got filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke with tongues. They were magnifying God. And they came out, and the people that they were talking to, the people that were listening to them, thought they were crazy and thought they were drunk. And Peter says, you know, these aren't drunk as you suppose, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Sons are going to prophesy. Old men are going to dream dreams. Young men are going to see visions. And he gets preaching, right? And he comes to this place in chapter 2, verse 25. Notice on the screen. He starts preaching. He says about an Old Testament scripture. And he says, for David says concerning Him. David says concerning this one called the Messiah. Him we know as Jesus. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Now stop. As we're talking about healing, one thing I know about dealing with any kind of pain or any kind of sickness or any kind of disease that we might all face is that, like just yesterday, I went on a bike ride and I came home and Kimberly met me in the garage. And I don't know, she came out in the garage and her beauty mesmerized me. And I slammed my finger in the door. She still makes my heart go crazy. And so I slammed my finger in the door. And I got a Band-Aid on now. This is about the fourth Band-Aid that I've had on it since yesterday. Just the nail turned blue, black, you know, and it's bleeding under a little bit. And even something small, listen, but it's there. It's before me. I feel it. It's before me. Can I tell you, if you and I are ever going to get healed in our body, I can't keep having that before me. I can't keep having my pain in front of me. I got to get a picture of Jesus in front of me. Get a picture of what Jesus did. And we're going to look at Isaiah 53 in a minute, and we're all going to get a different channel of what He did and who He is. Always before my face.
Notice, He's at my right hand. He's close. That I may not be shaken. When it comes to healing, when it comes to pain, I think it tries to shake us from what we really believe. I thought God was good. I thought God had healed. It tries to shake us from our foundation. Don't let it. If you just stay with Jesus, that He's at my right hand, He's close. I'm not going to let Him very far away. I'm not going to let the Word of God very far away. I'm going to keep it always before my face. Verse 26, therefore my heart rejoiced. One of the beautiful things about praise and worship, not only here, but at the house, is that you can just praise God and rejoice. Come on, everybody. I love that song we sang. I asked them that they'd sing that song. It's a new song, that last one. I'm going to lift my hands till I can reach heaven. I'm going to shout your name till the walls come falling down. I'm going to... Now, they're going to worship. They're going to worship. No, I'm going to worship. Come on, somebody. I'm going to sing my song like I am unashamed. Come on. I go around my house singing all the time, and everybody's got to put up with it. Come on, somebody. Come on. Brittany's over here with little Taylor. I get little Taylor, and I, Jesus loves me. And I hear, then I look at Taylor, and she's making faces at me. You know. Why? That ain't good singing, G-Pop, but I'm going to sing. I'm unashamed. Come on, everybody. How about we just abandon ourselves to the love of God? Just forget about everybody else and come in this place and just worship God and magnify God. He says, and my tongue's going to rejoice. I'm going to speak the Word of God. My tongue. Moreover, I'm going to rest. My flesh is going to rest in hope. Can I just encourage you? I think so many times when it comes to receiving from God, we stress, we struggle, we grunt, we groan, I'm believing. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, those that enter into faith have entered into rest. Negative report from the doctor. Just need to believe. No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep you before my face. And I am going to magnify you. And I'm going to worship and praise your name for the finished work of the cross. I know you're not good and bad. I know that you don't do evil. I know you didn't put this on me because you haven't got it. The enemy is trying to attack me in my physical body. I'm going to believe the Word. I'm going to speak the Word. I'm going to sing the Word. And I am going to rest. Going to rest. I love this. Verse 27. We doing all right, everybody? Huh? We doing all right? Come on. Help a preacher out. We doing all right? All right. If we're not, you can say no, but that's all right. Verse 27. No, I'm not doing okay. I think it's, anyway. Verse 27. For you will not leave me, my soul, in Hades. God's not going to leave you in that condition. Talking about Jesus now. Now listen, I know. Don't send me an email. I know He's talking about Jesus. I know He is. But I believe we can take this that happened to Jesus and work it in our life. You're not going to leave me in Hades. You're not going to leave me in this condition. You're not going to allow me to see corruption. In other words, this situation in my life is not going to bring me to an early grave. I'm not always going to be in this situation. I'm trusting God for change. For you've made known to me the ways of life. You're going to make me full of your joy in your presence. Joy is going to return to my life. Isaiah 53. Turn there real quick, everybody. Get on your phone. Write down some scriptures. Let's break it down. Isaiah chapter 53 is a prophecy about Jesus Christ that's given about 800 years before Jesus actually showed up. And there's details about the crucifixion, details about the death and burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ that are just astounding. And Isaiah is really showing the purpose of the Messiah and the purpose of the cross. And we know from the Bible, again, you Bible believers, that Jesus was sinless. He was perfect and He didn't need to suffer for Himself, that John, the disciple, actually calls Jesus the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb of God. It's the Old Testament picture that in the Old Testament they would be lambs and sheep that would be slaughtered and their blood poured out and given as sacrifice to cover and atone for the sins of the people.
And we know that now Jesus is not just continually being killed and having to go to the cross. The Bible says what he did once for all time. And so now we find out that Jesus as the Lamb of God was the Old Testament picture. He fulfilled that. He was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That now it is done. It is finished. Sin, the sin problem has been finished. The sickness and disease problem has been finished. Notice chapter 53. Notice verse 1. He says and opens this chapter, "Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Again, who's believed our report? It's not a tabloid. It's not a story floating on the internet. The word report means this announcement, this doctrine, this news from God. He tells us, though, you've got to believe it. Who's believed it? That the arm of the Lord has been revealed. The arm of the Lord, anytime you see that in the Old Testament, always speaks about the strength of God. The strength of Almighty God displayed on the power through the resurrection. And what's beautiful about the Gospels and what's beautiful about when we see the New Testament, it's like what Pastor Mark Hankins says. He says that the Gospel reveals like a picture. It reveals the cross. It reveals Jesus on the cross. It reveals, you know, piercing. It reveals, you know, nails in His hands, nails in His feet. It reveals the crown of thorns that we see the picture. But the epistles, what Paul writes and other Gospel, the New Testament writers write, it's not just a picture, it's an x-ray. It's showing you what's really going on in the life of Jesus, what really happened in His death, burial, and resurrection. It shows us the depravity of mankind and the separation that brought Jesus to the cross. Notice what it says in verse 2. He, this Messiah, is going to grow up before Him, before God, as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness that we should see Him. There's no beauty that we should desire Him. Again, the thought here is that Jesus grew up in obscurity. He grew up out of the dry ground, parched and thirsty humanity, again, as a picture. There was no comeliness in Him. There was no magnificence in Him, is what He's saying. Nothing about His crucifixion was desirable. There's nothing that anybody wanted. And He's picturing, again, Isaiah, looking 800 years into the future, and He's saying that the sin of mankind marred Jesus' body. He was whipped, He was beaten, He was bruised. Not for Himself, but as our sin substitute, as our sickness substitute. Verse 3, He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He's despised and we did not esteem Him. Twice it uses the word despised. He was disdained, He was vile. We counted Him as worthless. And it says He was rejected by men. Interesting that, you know, we live in a society where people have just amazing emotional pain because of rejection. Again, counselors tell us that rejection is this huge emotion that begins working in people's lives, in their bodies and in their minds. Emotionally damaged that shows up in physical bodies. At the cross, remember, there was just a few of Jesus' followers there. Remember, there was His mom, and Jesus actually on the cross in that condition, I don't know how He did it, but when His hands were there, when His feet were pierced, when He had a crown of thorns, when He was beaten, when He was whipped, when the Bible, Isaiah says in another book, he says, another chapter, He didn't even look like a man. He was swollen. He was black and blue. He was bruised. He was beaten. And in that condition, somehow, He sees His mom there, and He sees His disciple John there, and He says, "John, behold your mother." And John knows, now I'm going to take care of Mary. That was about the only people that were there. He was rejected. Where was the 5,000 men plus women and children He fed? Where was the 70 He sent out two by two? Where was the 12? They were gone. Judas hung himself. Where's everybody else? He knows about rejection. And if you've been rejected and you're hurt, can I tell you something? Part of the cross, what Jesus endured, is so that you don't have to go through life feeling like nobody and rejected. And that guy I was married to and that guy I had kids with, and he rejected me. And he left and went off with another woman. And that woman that I was, and I bought, and she rejected me. And my friends that I've, and at the work, and they've rejected me. God knows all about rejection. Six words. Write it down. Come on, real quick. Six words that Jesus did in verse 4 and 5. Here's where we're going to camp for the next couple seconds, and then we're done today. Six words. That it's going to outline the severity of man's condition and the need of Savior. It says in chapter 53, verse 4. Let's read it out loud. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Come on, write down the word surely. It means certainly, truly, indeed, it's a fact. It's undeniable, surely. It's undeniable what happened here. That what Jesus did on the cross and suffering for man's sin, He did it. Surely He did this. What did He do? Surely He has borne. We don't use this word, but the word born or bore is an Old Testament. It's a Hebrew word, and it is the word NASA, N-A-S-A. It's where we get again our space shuttle, NASA. It means to lift off. It means to carry away. It means to take away. It means it's swept away. He lifted off. He carried away. He took away. He swept away. What did He lift off? What did He carry away? What did He take away? What did He sweep away like a rushing mighty river? What did He do? It says He did it with our griefs. This word griefs means sicknesses. It means maladies. It means internal or external. Anything that could happen inside you, any growth, any tumor, any diabetes, any blood clot, any asthma, anything on the inside or anything that would attach itself from the outside. It all has to do also with anxiety. What happens to you affects you mentally. All of that He lifted, He took, He carried away, He swept away. The word is used, guys, listen to me. I'm not making this up. You could study this out. It's used 24 times. This word griefs is used 24 times in the Old Testament. Every single time it's mentioned, it's connected with, it means sickness and disease. That's what it means. He took it. He took your sickness and disease. Not just your sins so you go to heaven. Absolutely. It's the most important thing that He became your sin substitute so you could spend eternity with God. But not just only that. He became your sickness substitute so you could walk whole while you're on the earth. Amen? So you could live long. You could be healthy in your body. You could see your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. So you could be alive. You don't have to live out your life and just be diseased and waste away. That picture I want you to get is that you know, again, Dad Hagen, my mentor, one of ours. He's 86 or 87 years old, I think, 87, I believe. And he was sitting at breakfast with his wife, and he just looked over his wife. He said, I mean, what they said the testimony was, eating breakfast, looked at his wife, smiled, and then just went like this. Boom. He preached the days before. He's leading a ministry. He's teaching in the Bible school. He did crusades. It was just boom. And in that instance, he goes from on the earth to in the presence of God. Let's get that picture. He had to fight for it though, because he was born and only weighed a little over a pound back in the, I don't know when. Oh, well, you figure it out. Man, back early days, they thought he was dead. They put him in a shoebox to die. And his mama saw that his chest started pumping, his grandma. And they took him. And he was so small, they had a little, what do you call it? Little eyedropper with little milk so he would eat. And he had incurable blood diseases. Couldn't play with other kids until he found out when he was 16 years old that God brought him as a weak kid, couldn't run, couldn't play, brought him to a scripture in Mark 11, 23 and 24. And through that, he kept fighting for healing in his body and would proclaim it and set other people free. Come on. Come on, let's believe God for whole bodies. Amen? If He bore something, if He took something, if He carried it away, evidently He doesn't want me to bear it, take it, and carry it. Come on, everybody. Let's believe that. Amen? Notice what it says, number two. He carried our pains. He carried our sorrows. That actually means pains. physical and mental pain. So again, the thought that I want you to see from what Isaiah is saying is that sin and sickness has passed from you to Jesus at the cross, and salvation and health passed from Jesus to you at the cross. It's called the Great Exchange. That's what it's called. Chapter 53, verse 5. Notice what it says. This is where we'll read this whole thing and we'll see these last four things. Thanks for hooking up with me. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes, come on, say it with me, we are healed. Number three, write it down. He was wounded. We see these six things Jesus did. Number three, He was wounded for our, that's mine, that's your, our transgressions. The word wounded means He was pierced. Again, referring to Jesus' hands and His feet being pierced with those nails. He was wounded for what? Your transgressions. Transgression means every act of rebellion against God. In other words, what you deserved, Jesus took. The transgression, that we were rebels against God. So listen, if you feel like you're a rebel, if you feel like you're away from God, can I tell you what? The transgression for you to come back to God has already been made. The sacrifice for you to be whole with God and be restored to have a life with God. If you've been on the run, baby, come on home and let God just work in your life. Let Him work in your life. He wants to. He loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. He was wounded for your transgression. Wounded for every act of rebellion. And again, I think all of us probably struggle sometimes with that until we surrender fully and completely to God. It says that He was bruised, number four, for our iniquities. It tells us right there in verse 5. Wounded for our transgressions, number four, bruised for our iniquities. The word bruised means to crumble, to break, to crush. And again, the reference is, you can study it out, to when He was whipped, when He was scourged, when He was beaten. What He endured, He did it. He was bruised for your and my iniquities, our perversity, our depravity, our guilt. And again, I think we go through life. Most people go through life and something happens to them and they go, I guess I deserve this. I guess I deserve this. I'm guilty. This happened. I'm guilty. And I hear people say stuff and listen, I don't want to throw you under the bus if you've been saying this. I just want to bring clarity in your life for God's love. You can't do anything to make Him stop loving you. And you can't do anything to make this covenant not work for you. The minute you turn toward Him, it's all turned toward you. It's called grace. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. You don't get it to work up toward it. You get it just because He loves you. It's just amazing. So my perversity, my depravity, my guilt. I can't let the devil play games with my mind to think, Gary, you've done this, that's why this is in your life. You did this, that's why you're never going to get healed. You're going to have to deal with this for all your life. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says He took it. He bore it. He wants to lift that off your life. The revelation of that has got to come alive in you. Who's believed our report? You got to believe it for it to work with you. Nothing in the Bible works unless you believe it. Nobody gets saved unless they believe. They got to believe it. I do too. You do too. Number five, write it down real quick. The chastisement of our peace was on Him. The chastisement means the correction, the discipline, the chastening that sin brought was on Christ. Of my peace, our separation from God. Our separation from God was on Him. That's what it says. That's what it says. So the correction, listen. So what? Guess what God's never going to do? He's never going to put something in your life to so, quote unquote, correct you. How will He correct you? Hebrews 12 says He's going to correct you through the Word of God. He's going to bring you back to the Word of God. He's not going to take your baby from you. He's not going to put a heart attack on you so that while you're in the hospital, you find God again. He doesn't do that. Could He use that? Absolutely. He'll use anything. But He didn't put it in your life. You got to believe that.
Because if you don't, whenever you're faced with a challenge, you'll wonder, is He good? Is He good to me? And if you don't know that, you're going to struggle with sickness. You're going to struggle with receiving healing. You've got to know everything was placed on Christ, and then now He wants everything lifted off you. Last thing He says there, verse 6, the sixth thing it says that He did, by His stripes, come on, say it with me, we are healed. Come on, say it again. By His stripes, we are healed. So Isaiah's, come on, maybe see if you remember. Isaiah's look at the cross how many years before? 800. By His stripes, by the black and blue marks, by the piercing, by the nail, by the crown of thorns, by the scourging, we are healed. And Peter preaches in 1 Peter chapter 2, and he looks back decades after the cross when he's writing his book, and he says, by His stripes we were healed. We were. So now the position of the believer is not trying to get it. We already were it. We were healed. The sacrifice from 2,000 years ago is working today to whosoever will. It makes no difference how long you've had what you've got. It makes no difference where it came from. It makes no difference if it's genetic, if it's been passed on from generations. It doesn't even make a difference if you were in some kind of situation that caused pain in your own life. You were alcoholic, or you were a drug addict, and now this is going on, or you've been damaged by a car wreck and degeneration and this in my back and in my mind. And it makes no difference. It makes no difference where it came from, how long it's been there. The Bible says it was all laid on Christ, the same place sin was put on Him, all sickness was put on Him. All rebellion for my own heart, everything that I want to do my own way, all my anxiety, all my fears, all my frustration, all that's laid on Him, so that now we all can walk in a place of freedom. Don't turn there, just listen to me. And you guys don't even need to put up on the screen. The nation of Israel was an amazing group of people, you know? And I assume that they're probably like us. I don't think we're much different. They had been in bondage for 430 years. I mean, that's amazing. America isn't even that old. The whole country of America. 430 years, the nation was in bondage to Egypt. Then Moses shows up. You know the story. Maybe you've seen it. You know, Moses shows up. God talks to him. He's going to be the deliverer. And sure enough, God anoints him and works through him. And there's the 10 plagues. Y'all remember that? Come to the Red Sea, and after the death angel and all that happened, and the Pharaoh said, go and sacrifice to your gods, and Moses and all the, you know, the millions of people leave, and they go out to find themselves in the Red Sea, and they don't know what to do, and God tells Moses, stretch out your rod, and he stretches out the rod, and the sea parts, and everybody goes across, and the Pharaoh comes out there, you know, and Pharaoh's drowned and all his army. And so they're seeing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, crazy miracles. Not just like, you know, nail healed. I mean, crazy miracles. And they get to their side. All their enemies dead. They get to their side. They're walking out in the wilderness. Bible historians say that the journey through the wilderness should have taken 10 to 11 days to get them to the land of promise. Anybody remember how long it took them? 40 years. An 11-day journey took 40 years. While they're walking right after the Red Sea, it's been 3 days or so, they're out there. And guess what? No water. Now, you're in the desert, you need water. They come to a place and they find water. And the people go to drink the water, and they say, Moses, it's bitter. It's poisonous. We can't drink this water. And there's no water in sight. None. The Bible says that Moses cries out to God. He says, what are you going to drink? The Bible says this amazing scripture in chapter 15 of Exodus. Read it sometime. God shows Moses a tree. He showed him a tree. A tree is made of wood. The same wood that bore Jesus on the cross. That carried Christ. The Bible says, God said to Moses, cut a branch off. Put it in the water. Waters many times in the Old Testament, when you read it, it talks about lost humanity. The seas. Lost humanity. Take a branch, put it in the water, because God is showing a picture. I am come to heal everybody. Put the branch in the water. They drank the water, and the Bible says the waters became sweet. And then Moses began sharing and preaching. He says, God says, listen, I'm making a statute. If you'll diligently obey my voice, heed my commands. He says, listening to the word of God, applying the word of God in your life, I'll allow none of the diseases that have come on the Egyptians to come on you. And he says this, for I am the Lord who heals you. He reveals himself. God reveals himself there in this compound word called Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah, which means the self-existent God. The God who always was, the God who always will be, and I will forever be your healer. Your healer. Your healer. For all of us, I've never had a good sick day. Bitter, pain, depressed, hurting, frustrated. Why? God wants to take our lives and say every bitterness, where depression has come, where sickness has come, where fear has come, what's going on in my life. God wants you to know the cross of Jesus Christ is the remedy for all your sickness or disease. He became sin. He became sick so that you and I could walk in total freedom. It's part of your covenant. It belongs to you. Listen, surely, you got to believe it. You got to believe the report. Don't just believe one day heaven, everything's going to be great, no pain in my body. That's absolutely true. But let's believe for today that by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Let's release our faith, no matter what it looks like. Let's surround ourselves with the Word of God and recount and revisit in the Gospels and see what God did through the early church in the book of Acts, how people got healed. And let's believe God that pain gets removed from our life, that disease or chronic things leaves our life. Because if He bore it, if He lifted it, He doesn't want you to bear it, and He doesn't want you to have to lift it. He took it for you. Come on, everybody. That's good news. Amen. Come on, close your eyes. Put your hands right out in front of you. Just do that right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, our hands are raised in front of us and we receive healing. Come on, let your faith rise up toward Him right now. Just say that I receive healing in my body. I receive pain to leave my body. Whatever's facing you right now, no matter where it came from, no matter how long you've had it, Father, I pray the healing power of God to work in physical bodies right now. Just as though you removed sin, you became the sin substitute so we could walk in righteousness, in right standing with you. Father God, I thank you for our bodies to be in right standing with you. You made us. You made these temples. These are the bodies you made and gave us. And so, Father, we thank you for wholeness. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance in our bodies. That these temples, these physical earth bodies would be strong to carry the gospel, to do all the will of God. And so, Father, we align ourselves with You and we believe again today. Father, I pray for every person that's struggled with sickness or disease and just maybe wondering why this has happened. Father God, I pray all the anxiety of that, the fear of all those questions would be removed right now. That faith would just rise in their hearts again. Faith to trust You and to believe that surely He has borne all my sicknesses. And surely You, Jesus, carried every pain. You were wounded. You were wounded. You were bruised. And by Your stripes, we're healed. You never bring it in our lives because You don't have sickness to give us. You don't have it. You were corrected, Jesus. All correction was on You. You didn't need it, but You bore it. The correction of our peace. Chastisement of our peace. The discipline for our rebellion was on You. And we receive freedom today. Freedom in our spirit, in our bodies. We receive it. And we align our thinking. We align our thinking. Come on, put your hands down. Just with the eyes closed. Listen, get this picture right now. Kimberly said it earlier during worship. Jesus, keep Jesus before your face. That's what He says in Acts chapter 2. I foresaw the Lord before my face. We see Him high and lifted up. We see Him victorious. We see Him conquered over sin, over hell, over the grave. We see the resurrected Jesus and all His glory. And He's with us. And He's the one who desires to make you free. To make you free. So He says to know the truth. Keep knowing the truth. Keep coming back to the truth. And that truth will set you free. Father, we give You thanks for freedom in our bodies today. Deliverance in our bodies. We give You honor in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, say amen, everybody. I believe it's working in you. Come on, I believe it's working in you. Next week, Brother Jay Hoskins is going to be with us again. As we've said several times, I want you to come. Bring your family, bring your friends, bring sick people.